Joe presents Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby, together with Guinness.
Hello and you're very welcome to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby here on Joe, together with Guinness. On today's show, we're all about the 2019 Guinness Six Nations and a little teeny bit about the Guinness Pro 14, which was kind of crap at the weekend, I'll be honest with you. It's like that weird weekend where...
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you were in New York for the last 5 days. Look at you, high flyer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm feeling too high flying today.
No, Trimby's just off the plane back from New York.
Yeah.
Tell us what you're doing.
We were over at an Ireland Funds conference.
Yeah. Funding for Ireland?
We were funding Ireland.
Right.
What have you ever done with your life? I've been funding Ireland for the last week. So... went to a few bits and pieces of the conference, a few interesting talks, met a few interesting people.
Had a bit of crack.
Didn't see any rugby.
Okay, well, you didn't miss much, to be honest with you.
Played a lot of table tennis.
Did you?
Yeah. There's a couple of table tennis clubs in New York, and we went there more or less every night.
Table tennis, are they bars, like, or
yeah.
Actual?
Yeah. It was unbelievable crack. I know it sounds really nerdy and boring, but they had two ex-pros, husband and wife, and they were just playing this exhibition game. And all these nerds were loving it. Go on, the lad. And then they played around the table. Give around the table. You remember you used to play that?
Yeah, yeah.
Back in
paddling.
Paddling. Yeah. Well, no one got paddled.
So. No way.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the point?
Yeah, yeah. So we played a lot of table tennis.
It sounds like Kingpin. Kingpin?
Yeah.
That movie, that's what I'm picturing, the husband and wife, like Ernie McCracken. And if he had a wife, that pretty lady had kind of his wife. I'm picturing that as the husband and wife.
Uh-huh.
Was he kind of an Ernie McCracken?
No, it was two Chinese people.
Of course.
Obviously, they tend to...
The best in the world.
They're the best.
Yeah.
Best in the business.
Did you get a game against them or anything? Or?
No, I didn't manage to get the serve back. And then I didn't know.
So what, he hits?
Yeah, so you line up, and then you just have to try and return his serve.
Are they unbelievable?
Yeah, this guy, the ball's like spinning so fast. You just, if your back connects with it at all, it just pings off.
Go away.
Yeah, like, and then he was giving me feedback and all. I was like, don't patronize me. You got lucky this time, son.
Are your long arms? Are they
they're
compatible with table tennis? Like,
that?
You'd be hard to swing those yokes to.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
It's bittersweet, I suppose.
Yeah,
I'm good at I'm getting the wide
drops low or whatever. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know what? It's been a few weeks since we've mentioned the long arms.
They're always on my mind.
Yeah, I went for a run in Central Park.
I saw that on Instagram.
Yeah,
put it up.
And as I was running along. There was this girl like rummaging around the bush, like panicking, and she was like, "George, where's my George?" and I went, "Oh my goodness, is he a toddler? What does he look like?" I started looking. She goes, "No, he's a beagle.
It's a dog.
It's a dog." I went, "What am I wasting my time looking for a dog? I'm not interrupting my run to look for a dog. I'm trying to get ripped here, love." So, you're on your own.
Sure, don't call a dog George.
No,
that's confusing. Give him a dog's name.
And have an appreciation that that's going to be confusing for me.
Yeah.
Thinking that that's a child.
Yeah. The dogs in Central Park are so well behaved. Did you notice that?
They love their dogs in New York.
Yeah.
I spotted two dogs with shoes on. Like little, like little mitts.
For Leinster dogs.
Yeah, Leinster dogs.
Yeah. Okay, I'm with you. Well, that's well for some. We were stuck here in the piss and rain watching crap Pro 14 matches for the weekend. Very little happened. Dunners was cracking me up. He was commentating in the Munster match, and I love the way he just, from the get-go, he was like, "This is going to be crap. And I'm not getting in any way excited." He was trying, will we bother? I was kind of expecting him to say at one point, like, "Do you want to, you know, just maybe say to the audience at home, do you want to just chat amongst yourselves, lads?" And we'll, because I was trying to read a book while watch it, and it was... he kept distracting me by trying to say things, but there was very little going on.
He's like, "Listen, do your own thing. I'll let you know how they get on."
Yeah. I was happy enough to listen to the crowd, but
it's difficult to get up for that game when you're thinking it's Ireland England next weekend.
Yeah,
Six Nations starts and there's a World Cup on its way.
Yeah, you kind of get a break after the the big European matches, yeah. and you've had a big Christmas, and you everyone likes to take this week down to prepare themselves for next week. But anyway, we'll come back to those Pro 14 games in part three. But we'll also have a look ahead to Ireland versus England. We hear from Ireland captain Rory Best. We'll also announce our Guinness Maid of More Player of the Weekend and answer your Twitter questions. But first, talking point number one. England, Ireland versus England. There's no better place to start this Saturday. Guinness Six Nations opener. Well, Wales play France in Paris on Friday, and Scotland play Italy. But England travelling to Dublin to take on the champs is obviously the big one. Your thoughts? Do Ireland go in as outright favourites?
Yeah, I think they do. Do you not think so?
I do. I was just asking you. Insane, is it?
That's it then, is it?
Done. Seal of approval. That's it, Andrew.
I think Ireland, so whenever they look at the Six Nations and the World Cup, mm-hmm. I think they can't go that whole stretch and not slip up somewhere. So in a way, I hope that they slip up in the Six Nations, get it out of the way. It's almost like a tactical loss, and then they'll win the World Cup.
But they won't take that mindset, obviously, will they, going into it?
Do you think that's
it's defeatist? They're hardly going to go easy on them now this week, or
yeah, but yeah,
don't burn yourselves out.
I don't think though. I think they'll win this weekend. Now I'm more worried about Scotland and Wales away. Those two games. But anyway, we'll not get carried away. I think they'll beat England this week.
Just on that point, the last back-to-back winners of the Grand Slam were France in 1998. So would that not be a really nice landmark for Ireland to hit, to get to do back-to-back Grand Slams?
Yeah.
Hugely important, I think, anyway.
France, it'd be nice to see France going well again, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
The France of 98.
Yeah. I look back at the teams like that, the French team of those days, and you'd Sadorny, fullback, Bernasal, Saint-André, Olivier Merle, Benazir.
Magne.
He was on the bench, actually. Magne was still only coming through, but Merle, do you remember that fella? They were so French. They were they were all like, looked like they were 40 years of age, and they'd gone through many a war, like all come through World War II grand. And
they'd no interest in Irish rugby. I bet you they wouldn't have known any of us. No English players. They'd be like, listen,
get us in
we'll
and out.
We'll do our own thing. I once tried to make a bit of small talk with Cedric Heymans after a game. It was like across the table. Cedric, you know, the winger at Toulouse, he finished in Bayonne. Apparently, he used to drive a Harley, arrive at training in a Harley, on a Harley. And anyway.
Of course he did.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Yeah. It's on brand for him. Smoking a cigar, I would imagine, as he arrives.
Absolutely.
But he was sitting across the table, and I just tried to make a bit of small talk. And I said something like, oh, where are you staying? Are you heading back tomorrow? Or what, something. And anyway, and he goes, I no speak. And then Harry Nordegui was sitting there beside him, and he's obviously, well, I was going to say he obviously speaks English, but more importantly, he's quite polite.
Right.
Unlike Heymans. And he says,
you embarrassed?
Yeah, he was sort of making excuses for him. He says, oh, I'm sorry, my friend, his English is bad, so that is why. And I was like, okay. He's obviously a nice guy.
Yeah. Okay, for next week, can you do your balderdash thing? Because I thought it'd be... I just left it at you, man. It's your
thing.
Oh,
did you?
Yeah. Can you do that on the French 1997 or 98 teams?
Yes,
and come
okay.
back to me with, like, Castagnard.
Okay.
Sadoni.
Okay, it'll be... actually, you know what? My father-in-law's French, so I'll have to sit down with him for an hour, go through a few Wikipedias.
Yeah.
Because obviously, be a little bit of a language barrier for that.
Okay, we'll probably do it in English as well.
Or maybe I'll just call Cedric Heymans, and I'm sure he'll be happy to help me out.
See if he speaks these days.
Yeah.
Back to Ireland and England. So Ireland, we hope they can put a back-to-back Six Nations together, Grand Slam. England, obviously going to be one of their biggest opponents. The Vunipola's back, Manu Tuilagi back.
Yeah.
Do you give them much of a chance?
Yeah,
Ireland,
I think so.
12-game winning streak in Dublin.
Yeah, I think England are looking as probably, on paper anyway, as strong as they've been in the last while. And I just think you definitely can't write them off. Anyway, I think it's going to be a tricky one. You thought Twickenham was going to be tricky as well, though. Ireland went over there as favourites. I just feel like Ireland are just getting more and more used to being favourites. Go to Twickenham, and everybody thinks, right, okay, well, let's see how Ireland cope with it unbelievably well. Blew them off the park.
Yeah.
And then coped with being favourites in Australia. And then, I suppose they weren't favourites, but they were starting to being talked about, obviously, by comparison to the All Blacks, and then they backed that chat up as well. So I think Ireland are really happy now with going in, being favourites, and coping with a lot being expected of them. So I think it's Ireland for me, but I think it's going to be as difficult as it's ever been against England with all those boys back.
Yeah. What do you think they have to do to get it right? What areas do they need to focus on to get a spot on to put England away? Like last year, as you said, when they went to Twickenham, got the kicking game really... really tight. Murray and Sexton kicked brilliantly. They didn't make any mistakes, so England didn't have the set pieces, which was obviously very strong, the line out and the scrum. They didn't have many mistakes, so England didn't get that kick start.
And they hold on to the ball. That's a big thing. When Ireland go well, like the perfect example was the All Blacks game. When they go well, they hold on to the ball and they take them through phases and they just stretch them over and over and over. And then the equivalent, I suppose, I'm thinking, I know it's a little bit of a tenuous link, but whenever Ulster played Leinster in the 2012 European final, I remember thinking that day that was the perfect example of how important Schmidt is, or the perfect kind of footprint of Schmidt on a team. Whenever they get the ball, you do not get it back off them. And it's such a defeatist kind of feeling. When they get the ball, you're just going, we're definitely going to concede here.
Yeah.
And we're just going to have to wait for our turn, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
And their breakdown's so good, their phase play's so good, and they just stretch in, and then eventually they break you down. I think teams, when they play Ireland now, they know they're not going to get a sniff of the ball unless they take risks in defence, and then they take risks, and then someone like Johnny or someone like Murray just makes the right decision, gets in behind them, and makes it very difficult for them. But yeah, just to hold on to the ball time and time again, put them under pressure.
And with the selection calls, a few big ones. I was looking at the two potential 15s, like Healy, Best, Furlong, Ryan Toner, pretty much a given that they'll start. Stander, O'Mahony. Then the seven is kind of a big question. Van der Fleer, Sean O'Brien, Levy, one of the three of them, I'd imagine. Anyone?
How'd Shawnee go?
Shawnee went well.
He didn't play the weekend now, but he played. Against Wasps.
He did play very well against Wasps last week.
Joe loves Shawnee.
Yeah, I still think Van der Fleer will start. Haven't played so much rugby this year and playing so well. With probably Shawnee on the bench as big impact coming out against England. Levy did play incredibly well against them last year over in Twickenham at the same time, but what a brilliant headaches to have. Murray, Sexton, centres, would you think Bundy or Henshaw?
I think Henshaw.
Do you? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one now I'm really stuck on.
Henshaw, Ringrose.
Yeah.
For
Bundy,
me.
Ringrose as well, though. Like, they played so well last year.
Bundy. We give Bundy the unsung. Yeah. He's sitting with an award on his mantle there.
And Henshaw not playing a huge amount of rugby either. That's the other side.
Yeah, I think the Sextons and the Henshaws of this world can come back in, and probably Sean O'Brien as well. They've got so much grace in the bank, and Joe loves them so much that I think they can get in there, having not played that much rugby, and just straight in and perform.
I think the important thing is that either way, whether it's Henshaw or Aki, they'll do a great job. Ringrose, I think, is dead set in 13. Earls and Stocktail, obviously, on the wings. 15 is a tough one. Carney played at the weekend, didn't have a great game, but you know, I think he's got to be minding himself a little bit at this age.
Yeah.
Ahead of next weekend, and he's often been called out that he's potentially passed, and then comes back and just, you know, has an unbelievable tournament last year.
Yeah, when people say that about him, that tends to bring the best out of him.
Yeah, so, and I know Joe is a big fan of his as well. So it's just an interesting one with going into the World Cup year. They're going to need to have a replacement for him that has played.
Because he does pick up a lot of knocks as well.
Yeah.
So you're right, they need some, well, potentially that is that Addison or is that...
Yeah,
he doesn't play there.
Addison hasn't played there all year, so for me it's Conway or Larmour. Conway has been Munster's best player, in my opinion, for the last few months. So, and he's played a lot on the wing, but a lot of his impacts in game has been with receiving kicks, kicking, just bursts of energy and stuff. So he had a huge November series for Ireland as well. Larmour, obviously, we know what he can do, so.
The Conway,
you'd go with Kearney this weekend, would you?
I think we would, yeah. Well, no, not that I... Well, I think that's what I think Joe... there's a level of trust there. And probably three or four times people have said, right, Kearney's maybe just not quite what he was. And then he's come back and he's produced a big performance on a big game. Mm. And I just think Joe kind of knows that he's going to get that out of him. Or he's proved it a few times, so why would you not just back him again? Mm-hmm. Then the big thing at the start of the autumn was it was Larmour and Kearney. But then everybody kind of forgot about Conway. And then by the end of the autumn, then Conway had a couple of that big performance against USA. And it was almost just a wee reminder. I used to be being talked about a lot more. Mm. And people forgotten about me. And he was sort of going, well, why?
Yeah.
So that's a reminder that he's in the mix. I still think Addison needs to be in there as well.
Mm. So. Yeah, I think if it comes down to someone on the bench, then, you know, with Addison covering all three positions... I heard someone saying during the week that his speed scores are now at the top in I don't know if it's in the Irish camp or the Ulster camp, that he's,
is that right?
He's quicker than Stockdale over whatever it's 30 meters, something like that.
Really?
Yeah, which is phenomenal. So that he can play in the centre, even slotted in and out half for a bit for Ulster, can play 15 and can play on the wing, then yeah, he's probably the one that might get the nod over, let's say, the likes of Bundy, Aki, Larmour. Or Conway. Yeah, interesting though. Then obviously the English side, hard to tell where they'll go, but as we said, the Vonopolo's back in. Farrell, Teo, Slade, May, Daly, Kokkinensiga. Top team.
You name it.
Yeah. your first Six Nations was 2006 when you won a triple crown. Beating England.
Did I?
Beating England, Twickenham. Any memories of that? Any memories? Standout memories?
Well, just the big thing was just Shane Horgan's reach, the try, kind of
class.
Yeah, I got taken off at some stage in that game. I think I started that game and got taken off. I might have been having a poor game.
Did you?
I think so. Yeah, from what I remember.
Yeah,
I certainly wasn't. A performance where I look back and say, wow, I was good that day.
Yeah.
So I think the game became a bit of a kicking game. I think Dennis Hickey maybe got brought off the bench for me. Mm. Obviously Shaggy got the try at the end, and I'm not sure I appreciated, because it was my first season, I'm not sure I appreciated the significance of a triple crown, kind of,
yeah.
You know, just how big an accomplishment it was.
Back then it was a bigger... It's
but again, just because I was young, maybe I didn't realise it. But it was a big day at Twickenham.
Mm. It is, you know, it's the biggest game of the year for me all the time, England-Ireland.
Yeah.
It's just that added bit of spice to it. I loved going to them when I was younger, even though we used to get the shite bit out of us all the time.
I'd prefer it wasn't the first game, though. I'd prefer it there was like Six Nations got going and kind of built up towards England on Paddy's Day.
Yeah, it was always nice on Paddy's Day, wasn't it, to have it? Something special about it. I went to see them once in Lansdowne Road, the old Lansdowne Road, when I was about 16, 17, with a few of my mates, and we were in the Schoolboy Terrace at the back. Uh-huh. You know that one? I think it was like £3 a ticket.
Yeah.
And
£3.
£3. We were drinking cans, underage drinking cans in the terrace. Do you remember the days... back then where you could, everyone would just go onto the pitch at the end of the match.
Yeah.
But everyone would just like pour on. There's like three stewards trying to stop everyone. I'd love to see them do that again.
Yeah. I think it back to the old days.
I would encourage anyone going to the match this weekend to go on. Get on at the end. Run on for a bit of crack. It was all like, hey, it was on. And one time England bait the crap out of us and we all ran onto the pitch at the end. And I swear, I was looking down through about the halfway and there was a middle-aged Englishman standing in the middle of the pitch, pissing on the pitch with his one hand in the air. It was the most imperialistic thing I've ever seen in my life. I was just like, what the fuck? So I sprinted at him. I was going to take him down for Ireland and I tried to tackle him.
You're covered in piss.
But he was huge. So I just kind of ran into him and I fell onto the ground. I was trying to pull him to the ground. He was just looking at me, kind of kicking me.
You did? You fell on his piss?
I was just lying in his piss. Oh, lad. It's like I haven't thought this through at all. It was terrible.
You showed him.
Yeah, I did. So look.
I'll show you. I'll lie on your piss.
That was one of my finer moments. Predictions for the weekend. Winner?
Yeah. Ireland by five.
Five. Okay. I'm going to go 27-14. I went for it. Exact score. You just gone 5-0.
No, it's too difficult to compare then who's closer.
Yeah, give me a score then.
Okay, 21, what's 5 less than that? 21-16.
Perfect. top try score? Of the competition, sorry.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry, Pat.
I thought we were going to go to...
Winners of the competition, you're going Ireland.
Yes.
Yeah?
I think so, yeah.
Top try scorer?
Stockdale.
I'm going to go... Earls. Wooden Spoon?
Italy.
Sorry, Italy. I'm going to go France. They've been playing crap. They've lost so many matches. I'm going to go France for the Wooden Spoon. Breakthrough star.
Sorry, France.
Breakthrough star.
Sorry, Cedric.
No speak. Breakthrough star. I'm going to go Jordan Larmour, even though he's already broken through, but fully.
Are we going Irish here, are we?
No. Not necessarily.
I'm trying to think of any other... potential breakthrough. Everybody's so well established,
yeah,
and already famous.
Yeah,
I'll just pass that one.
Okay, it's good enough for me. Talking about number two, we're going to talk about Joe Schmidt saying an opposition team's spying on Ireland.
Spying.
He told the Sunday newspaper reporters that I don't believe it's necessary, and I'd like to think there's still a sense of fair play. But I know it happens. I know it happened to us a couple of times, but I don't think you get distracted by it. When you get the feedback, when it filters back, you're disappointed, but you kind of acknowledge, okay, well, that's their process. That's their way of collecting information. It was stumbled upon at the time or one of the times. Just get on with it. Okay, so he's talking about team spying on you,
yeah, which
your captains run.
Who brought it up? Did he bring it up or did the journalist bring it up?
Yeah, it was at the Six Nations launch. So I was just saying it was just like a couple of days after Marco Bielsa that the Leeds boss had spoken about it. So
yeah,
it was a fresh topic. Somebody must have asked him about it then. And so he didn't bring it up.
Okay.
But then gave his take on it there. He was talking to a load of...
And he wasn't talking about it because Eddie Jones said something about it as well. So, I mean, they quizzed Joe on it and got a little bit of something out of him. And then they thought, let's ask Eddie. But then the way it's been framed now, it looks like Eddie Jones has been spying.
Yeah.
Only because the two conversations happened at the same time.
Yeah.
And
he's just over the corner going, huh?
Yeah, oh, yeah. What? I know, yeah. But I just think he likes being talked about anyway.
He looks like an evil kind of cartoon character, doesn't he?
Jones?
Yeah, that big grin. You'd imagine him doing something evil like that.
Yeah, well, he said he did. He said they used to do it a lot. He said it was commonplace back in the day.
Ah.
But he was like, I swear I don't do it now, though.
Foiled me again. Yeah. Imagine the end of every game, he's like getting caught. He's like the little evil guy from Turtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Krang?
Krang, the little brain. The little evil smile.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking Bebop and Rocksteady could be like the Vunipolos.
The Vunipolos, yes.
Yeah, just like going around destroying and Shredder. Farrell, wouldn't he be a good Farrell?
Yeah.
Or Farrell be a good Shredder?
So in that setup, Joe is Splinter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're the Turtles.
Yeah, well, there's four. I mean, who's the four Turtles? Four most important Turtles. You got Sexton, Murray.
Leonardo's kind of like the nerd.
He's the one with Rory. The sword. He's the blue sword.
He's Rory Best to be kind of keeps them all. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
Stop messing. Raphael is kind of ratty, cranky, O'Mahony or Sexton.
Oh, he's the red one with the forks.
Forks. Michelangelo's just eating pizza.
Yeah.
With the nunchucks.
No, he's a party dude.
Yeah. Who's the party dude? Zeeb Stocktail?
I was going to say, it could have been Zeebo.
Yeah. He's gone now.
Kind of a messer, but...
Stocktail be a bit... character.
He'd be a bit of a party dude.
Yeah. Splinter. Anyone else?
Who's the last turtle?
Is it? Oh, Donatello. Donatello.
With his stick with a bit of tape around it.
Yeah. Poor.
Oh, imagine a stick. You don't bring a stick to a knife fight.
Or a fork fight. Yeah, it's great. What are we talking about there? The spying.
Are we still talking Succession?
The spying thing.
Yeah.
On the UK House of Rugby, James Haskell said that the practice used to be commonplace. And Mike Tindall said that he knew for a fact in the past if a team did their captain's run at Twickenham, you'd always record them because they're in your stadium. If they're playing away, you can put a camera wherever you want in Twickenham and you can just record it and try and get their line-out calls.
Yeah.
Why would you not do it, basically?
Yeah, well, that's why. I mean, we never did any plays that were going to be important, any set piece.
You were always aware of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never did anything, really, in captain's practice.
Wow.
It was just about getting out and stretching legs and throwing the ball about. Mm. But you never do anything that they could get any information from.
Wow. There was an interesting story. Remember the Gloucester one where they left line-out calls in a hotel? They asked a member of staff in a Limerick hotel to photocopy them, and then she photocopied them twice and sent the line-out calls to Munster. I don't know, that was for the head of the Miracle match. And also Steve Borthwick mentioned he got to listen to London Irish calls, or listen to Irish calls ahead of the 2003 Grand Slam in Lansdowne Road.
So the Miracle match, you know...
It wasn't a miracle.
No, it was a cheat.
Yeah, I need to verify that story, actually, just because...
Sounds pretty true.
Shat all over the...
I'm happy to give...
Shat all over the miracle.
Yeah. Wow. That big historical moment in Munster rugby was all built on lies.
Just all because of that.
Yeah.
That hotel receptionist.
Wonder if she listens.
Legend.
Wonder if she listens.
She's the legend of the game.
Wonder if she subscribes to the podcast.
Yeah, we'll see. But anyway, look, it's an interesting topic, but I think it's just all hot air to take the pressure off the players, whatever. It's typical of Joe Schmidt and Eddie Jones to just send a distraction, send the media elsewhere.
It worked for us, didn't it?
Yeah,
it
did. Line and sinker. Ireland's biggest threats then for the Six Nations. Wales versus France on Friday night. I think Wales are probably our biggest opponents in the competition at this point. They've had a huge year. They won all their clean sweep in November, all their matches there. I think they've won 9 in a row. You know, they got a nice clean
bill of health.
Health with Jonathan Davies back and Wainwright, Tipperick and Josh Navidi or Ross Moriarty in the back row. Also Halfpenny could be a little bit of a doubt with his concussion, but
yeah,
they're looking pretty strong.
Yeah, they are, and they typically Wales would struggle in the autumn and then come into form in the Six Nations, and if they're already in form in the autumn, then they usually sort of pick up and they'll have no distraction with any kind of European representation. So it's kind of, it's team wheels, it used to be, you know, or like club wheels, kind of, that's the way people would have described it in the past. And they, that's why they kind of always outperform where they're at. It's just because it's that big climax at the end of the Six Nations. That's what makes that a little bit, everybody's a little bit more cautious about Wales, but you would imagine they'll get the better of France this weekend. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, again, France, they've only won three of the last 14 games, which is astounding for France. You know, but they're obviously, they've got unbelievable players. It's just who shows up.
You just never know, do you?
Yeah.
You never know with France.
Yeah, you know, there was talks during the week of Bastereau could switch to number 8. Yeah. What would you think of that?
That was your man, the Toulon boss said that. Did he just say that because Eddie Jones about, what's his name? Jack Noel. He could play 7 or something.
I think Bastereau probably should be a number 8. Though.
Yeah.
So maybe
in another dimension, there's people having this conversation. Bastereau could play in the centre.
Yeah. Just lost a bit of weight.
Yeah.
Did you play against him?
Yeah, a couple of times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Animal.
Yeah, I never really kind of clash with him. Johnny got knocked out by Bastereau, didn't he? A couple of times. Johnny kept going high on him.
Yeah.
But yeah, just gets the legs going, and you just can't get him down.
Yeah.
Gets offloads going. Could be tricky.
Yeah, but Wesley Fofana said during the week that
Fofana. didn't they just decide they were going to change the pronunciation of his name?
Did they?
At some stage. It seems like halfway through his career, it went from Fofana to Fofana.
Really?
Yeah. Same thing happened with Sean and Rory Lamont. They became the Lamonts.
Lamonts.
Yeah.
I'd much prefer Fofana or Lamont. Would you?
Scottish Lamont.
Lamont. I suppose it's a lemon.
Yeah.
Lemon has a terrible ring to it.
Yeah, I agree. Tana umanga.
Tana umanga. Lady Gaga. Anton Dupont to start for France, probably, at 9. And Fofana saying he's going to retire after the World Cup, so he might have a point to prove. Scotland versus Italy in Edinburgh on Saturday. Scotland, obviously, I think favourites for that one.
I think Scotland are going to be good this Six Nations.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
Yeah, I just think. Yeah, I think that's going to be a really tricky second weekend for Ireland.
Often our bogey team as well.
Yeah, over there. Yeah, we haven't got a good record in Murrayfield, but I don't think that many people are. People are talking about the England game, and people are talking about the Wales game. Not that many people are talking about Scotland. So
yeah.
Could be sticky.
Yeah, and look, Italy, obviously, we're not going to write them out. Treviso doing very well at the moment. Sergio Parisi still going.
Somebody.
What's he now, 36, 37? Surely his last.
Is he that old?
I'd say so. I played 21s against him. So he's my age anyway, if not older.
Yeah.
Last time maybe we'll see him out. He's slowing down, like.
Yeah, but he's... He's just been ridiculous for years, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Just carried Italy for years, and then now he doesn't have to carry them as much, but still, he's a big talisman for them, isn't he?
Yeah. Good to see it, though. Great character.
He lost 100 games.
He what?
He's lost 100 games.
Has he?
Yeah, I think it's a record. Such a shame, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because he must be really proud of his career, but then...
That's all he...
He's lost more international games than anybody else in the world. it's a harsh stat, isn't it?
It is. God.
Anyway, sorry, Sergio
Parisi. great stuff. We're back for the House of Rugby roundup later on. But here's a little chat that our mate Alex Payne had with Ireland captain Rory Best at the Six Nations launch over in London.
First, quick five questions. First things that come into your mind. First of all, have you seen our podcast, House of Rugby?
I have. The one we're asked.
Yeah, who is so in love with you, it's almost embarrassing. Do you have a little note for him just to make him feel better about himself?
I just think Felix is doing a really, really good job.
Good. Very good. He's quite a big man crush, but we'll let that fester. Will you come on the show at some point?
I will do, yeah.
Good, we'll look forward to that. So, first thought when you got out of bed this morning?
Media.
Yeah, I know. Here we go again.
Yeah.
Toughest ground you're going to play at in this year's Six Nations?
Millennium Stadium.
Toughest opponent, player or team?
Jamie George.
Best anthem other than yours?
Scottish.
Do you tap your toe to that?
It's hard not to.
Best fans?
Best fans, the Irish.
Worst fans? You can say it.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you're not going. You're too diplomatic. Who will be the rising star of this year's tournament?
Good question.
Any young'uns? Joe Popham, singer.
I was going to say.
One of yours?
What about Jordan Larmour? But everyone sort of knows a bit about him.
He's coming up the ranks,
isn't
he?
Yeah, he is.
Who will be player of the tournament?
Sexton's winning everyone else in a minute, so why not him?
Up there again. Top point scorer?
Sexton.
Top try scorer?
Jacob, unfortunately.
Favourite referee?
Garces.
Very good. Diplomatic. Tournament winner will be?
Kind of pass on that one.
No, tournament winner will be?
Ireland.
Complete the sentence. If we win the trophy, I will?
Get very drunk.
Good man. Again. Who'll get the wooden spoon? You can pass on that one.
I will pass on that
one. The one match we have to win is?
The next one.
Very good. Who's the loudest in the Ireland changing room?
Sean O'Brien. Very closely followed by Peter O'Mahony.
And is it good noise or just noise?
Shawnee's is just white noise. Pete just kicks things and bangs things. And
stand well back.
Yeah.
Best opponent to share a beer with?
Ben Youngs.
Everybody said you that was asked. Good. You've lost some friends here today. Favourite memory in the Six Nations?
Lifting the trophy last year.
Worst memory in the Six Nations?
Probably we had a triple crown game against Scotland in Croke Park. The last game at Croke Park, and we lost it.
It was a bad day. On the team bus, I sit.
Going to the games, about five rows from the front.
Superstition, or just where I'm comfortable?
That's where I like to sit. Just behind the emergency exit, just in case
something happens. And finally, my karaoke weapon of choice is?
My weapon of choice?
Yeah, what do you sing on karaoke?
Oh, what I say?
My weapon of choice?
I was going to say, shotgun.
Keep our family show. What do you sing on karaoke?
I sing Garth Brooks' Friends in Low Places.
How does that go?
Not sure.
Good boy.
I haven't done enough Guinness yet.
You're a top man. Thank you very much indeed, Rory. I really appreciate your time.
You're listening to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby on Joe, together with Guinness.
All right, that was Rory Best talking to Alex Payne over the Six Nations launch in London. Bestie, he kind of sounded like an auntie, like your straight enough auntie that comes over and could be disappointed in you when you're a young lad. She's like, oh, auntie, bestie's coming over.
Oh she's such a bore.
When she's babysitting you and you're like, oh, we'll get away with nothing with auntie bestie. She's like giving out about Jacob. Oh, sure, Jacob.
Oh, she's off scoring tries.
Tries. Probably be Jake. Pains me to say it, young Jacob. God, he's a scallywag. As opposed to like if Uncle Johnny was minding you, he'd be, I'd say, you get away with murder, like when he was captain of Leinster a few weeks and there was a riot, basically. Uncle Johnny's minding us, let's go mental.
Vilified.
He's like, referee, go on, toughen up, kill each other.
Uncle Johnny, what are you doing up there? Keep it down with the kids, would you?
The two of them sitting having a glass of wine downstairs once they get the kids down.
Yeah.
Uncle Johnny and Andy Bestie.
They work such a good combination, but I think it's probably a good thing that we have Auntie Bestie there to keep an eye on us. Well, anyway, we're going to round up our rugby with the rugby roundup. back to the Guinness Pro 40. Munster grinded out 9-8 win over Dragons. There was a 9-3, a 7-8, an 8-7. 17 all. It was those kind of games. But Munster, got a win over in Dragons. Not a huge amount to talk about during the game, I'll be honest with you. One thing that someone that was saying to me, I was watching with a few of my mates, and they were questioning Munster's ability to bring through cocky, flamboyant players that are just going out to kick the doors open and make a point. Whereas in Leinster, let's say, there's a lot of young lads just coming out of school who are ready to play and ready, you know, they don't look like they're, they don't look like they feel the pressure or that they're unable for the second they come out of school, they're ready to play and they want to prove themselves. Is that a fair point, do you think?
So what are you saying, the Munster players?
Yeah, we don't seem to have that ability to get players coming out of school with that confidence to come out and be the Simon Zeebo or the Ronan O'Gara, where they were cocky, confident guys who come in and just grab by the scruff of the neck.
Yeah, to be fair, there's no one like Zeebo in Irish rugby anymore. Mm. Sure, there's not.
Well, I think Jacob has proved that he's just coming in and he's not fazed by it at all. You know?
Yeah. But even Xibu just got announced that he's Paddy Power ambassador now. Mm-hmm. You know, he was Red Bull ambassador for a while.
See?
Yeah. But, you know, he's like, Xibu was kind of almost like a Gavin Henson or a Cipriani, where he was kind of like more famous than he had. You know, he might have only played a handful of games for Ireland at the time, but he was...
The way he did it.
Yeah.
And the crowd were singing Xibu. Yeah.
You know, and he's got
the Z
celebration, Zorro.
There's no way he'll be brought back into Joe Schmidt's thoughts.
I don't think so. I just think Joe's...
He's scored 14 tries this season?
He's on fire, but from Joe's point of view, if he's not going to change his mind. Mm. He's set a stall out, even before he left, when he decided he was leaving, and there was that Six Nations last year when he was still in Munster. Mm. But Joe had decided that was it. I can't see Joe changes his mind.
Yeah.
Because if he does, to be fair, then other lads will go away and they'll expect to get... I just don't think there's probably... Murray and Saxon are probably the two guys who can go somewhere else and still play for Ireland.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose that's fair enough.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. Furlong maybe as well.
Yeah.
You know, look, time will tell. I think when Joe goes as well, you never know what position Farrell will take on it.
Yeah.
Back to the Pro 14.
keep trying to distract us from the Pro 14.
Leinster get a win over Scarlets. Conor O'Brien again, probably stand-up player there.
Well, that's what Ireland need, isn't it? Another centre.
Another centre. Scarlets left it behind them a little bit. Asquith had an absolute nightmare where he got an intercept from Frawley, ran the length of the field and then dove about 2 feet early and landed on the ball, and then the ball popped out of his hands. It was ridiculous. And they lost by 5 points, 22-17. They could have won it, obviously. Would have gone into second place, so that was a pretty ridiculous mistake. Leinster, at the same time, never looked majorly under pressure, so I wouldn't be reading too much into it. Ulster got a penalty try in the last minute to salvage a draw with Treviso. A brilliant turnover from Clive Ross in literally the last second of the game. You could hear the referee, the linesman counting down, or I think it was the fourth official counting down, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, waiting for the clock.
He was counting, you could hear him?
In the ref's ear, he was counting down. Uh-huh. Yeah, it was insane. And then...
he's really... turn up the intensity there, isn't he?
Dead.
I wonder if he's thinking the same as us. Oh, this game's so boring. Let's get a bit of buzz going.
He's off.
Nah, he's getting the crowd going on.
I was ready to bolt out the door. Yeah. It's over. It was ridiculous. They just had to put the ball out of play and Clive Ross got in, got a penalty. Mike Lowry, the great kick to the corner, in fairness to him, and Herring got a try.
A big favourite of the show.
Lowry?
Yeah.
Yeah, had a good game. He was a bit sloppy, but he had some good moments. But that was literally the only thing that happened. Actually, they'd got a try, and after 2 minutes, Balakoon scored. It was a great try. And then they didn't do anything. Nothing else happened until the last minute. So We can move on from that. Connacht were also involved in a dreadful game of rugby. Pat wrote that. Subs Peter Boyle and Conor Fitzgerald did well off the bench. But little to talk about in their 8-7 loss to Cardiff. It's hard enough to play in those games. You've got to be fair to any players and coming into it. But they weren't the most enjoyable ones when I was playing them back in the day.
Yeah, European games last weekend, England this weekend.
Yeah.
No one really cares.
Yeah.
Well, no one cares, but it was actually a very big game, especially for Ulster. For Ulster, really. It was a big game. Now Ulster are sitting 2 points off Treviso.
Mm.
And, potentially there's going to be a few games later on in the season where it's going to be very, very tight. There could be a few bigger games than this European quarterfinal against Leinster.
Mm.
So, if they don't make European rugby next year, then...
Yeah, you're right. No, you're right. Okay, sorry.
No. Sorry.
Sorry, Ulster.
Sorry, Mike Healy.
Just apologising all over the place. Returning to our running Six Nations team, we just want to let you know a couple of things about House of Rugby bonuses to look for this week. For those of you lucky to get those tickets, we are welcoming Alex Payne and Mike Tindall over to preview this year's championship. They'll be joined by Sam Warburton, Rory Lawson, Fiona Collin, Jenny Murphy, Simon Zeebo, and Andrew Trimble. You're going. You're welcome.
Sorry, Baz.
I didn't get the shout, did I? You looking forward to that, are you?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to catching up with, like, Zeebs is usually a good crack at those things. So, yeah, and it's not as English as the English House of Rugby as it did before.
They're coming to our world.
Yeah. On our terms.
Yeah.
Our patch.
Yeah.
Get them, boys.
Most of that show will appear as a House of Rugby UK episode on YouTube and all your favourite podcast apps on Wednesday, but I think there'll be bits of it on our show as well.
And you are getting
more in. Importantly, yeah. Yes, I am getting in. I've a bonus episode that I'm recording this afternoon where I'll be talking to Brian O'Driscoll and Lawrence Delalio. What do you call him? Do you call him Lulz or
Laro?
Laro.
Okay. That's what they call him on BT, isn't it? Laro. Okay.
Laro and Drico and Bazo. keep your eyes peeled for that. It'll be coming out later in the week. We also ask you to vote for our Guinness Maid of Moher Player of the Weekend. And Pat actually forgot to do it because there was so little going on. But did you get around to this morning?
Yeah, so rather than do an overnight poll, I've just decided that let's do a 30-minute poll. So
yeah,
we did Louis Ludic, Conor O'Brien, Killian Gallagher from Connacht, and Jean Klein.
And Donnac O'Callaghan, I think, should get an extra mention because he's
told commentating. It like it is.
Yeah, just told it like it was.
So it's like, yeah, so it's instead of Paulie's teeth, because who deserves Paulie's teeth? It's the Donnac O'Callaghan telling it like it is award goes to Jean Klein. He got nearly 50% of the vote, so...
Good man, John.
You'll be delighted to get it.
Good man, John. Well done. Fair play to you. Get Dunner's red underpants.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
Well, they're very valuable.
Yeah.
Because at his testimonial, they went for 15 grand or something.
Did they?
Yeah.
I wonder, would you sell POC's tees for 15 grand? I bet you would.
They're pretty famous.
15 grand for his jocks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeez.
It was 10 or 15 grand, something like that, because I remember the...
Who bought them?
Yeah. It might have been more even. I can't remember exactly what it was, but I remember I was going, that's ridiculous. Because someone had auctioned or gifted World Cup tickets, I think, for every single game, a pair of tickets for every game. And I think they went for like a third of what the red underbangers went for.
Go away.
Yeah.
Good. I think he had them framed when back in the day.
Yeah.
I remember that. He had like one of those VW camper vans and he had them stuck in the back of that framed.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
No adhesive needed. They were just straight off.
Stuck on. That was such a brilliant moment. Shred. We need more of that. We also put a shout out for Twitter questions using the hashtag AskHOR and here are some of your best ones. Paddy Hart, why does absolutely everyone and especially James Haskell love Auntie Rory best? I want stories. Well, why does everyone love Best? He's such a nice fella, I suppose, isn't he? Auntie Bess. He always brings sweets. He comes over.
And money.
Money.
Take that, son. Take that away. Take that.
Thanks, Auntie Bess.
I don't know. He seems to be... It sounds like he had a good Lions trip anyway. Mm. And he warmed the hearts of some of the English players.
Did, didn't he?
Haskell and him seemed like good mates, all right.
Did, yeah.
Yeah. He's just lovable, isn't he? He's just a sweetheart.
Yeah, he is. He was our captain of our Irish under-21s team as well, and he just had that kind of warm vibe.
He gives you a warm, fuzzy feeling.
Warm, fuzzy feeling. No, there you go. So we've no stories, but he's just great. Jamie Hanrahan, this is brilliant. Please rank the four provinces' half-back combinations in order of how much they sound like fancy Dublin solicitors' firms. Sexton and McGrath, Cooney and Burns, Carberry and Murray are my personal favourite. Yeah. Carty, Blade, Marmion.
Yeah, that's my favourite too.
It's great.
Yeah. I'm so pleased people are asking this kind of question, because we've really got away from the who's the best player they've ever played with.
So well, I don't know.
Well done, Jimmy.
So Carty, Blade, Marmion is getting number one. He asked us to rank them. That's his question.
Rank them.
Yeah. Do you have any slogans for them? Any slogans?
I like Sexton McGrath. That comes in at second.
Could you give him some slogans to do with what kind of team they play for, what kind of players they are? Cooney and Burns. We're getting there.
Why are we getting there?
I don't know. Because Ulster are getting better, like. Yeah, we'll work on that one for next week. He's got nothing. Humphrey Jones, who are the must-pick players for my fantasy rugby team? Well, that's back to the question that you just didn't want.
But this is, well, this is different, I suppose, in that, so a bunch of my mates used to play this fantasy rugby. And whenever I was playing in the Six Nations, one of them said to me, I've got a wee bit of a Should I pick you because you're my mate, or should I pick someone better?
What did you say?
I asked him to pick me, and I reassured him.
Did you feel the pressure?
Yeah, I did. I was actually quite good value.
Were you?
So I was very, very cheap.
Did you score a few tries that?
I can't remember.
What do you get? You get points for like.
Yeah, tries, assists,
okay.
High ball reception, that kind of stuff.
Okay. I'd say Joey Carberry could feature a little bit, maybe. Stick him in there. He could be cheap, could he? And he'd come off the bench. He'll probably come off the bench a good bit. Ireland could have broken teams down. He's scoring so many points these days.
Yeah.
He's a must for me. Get him in there. I don't know who else. A few of the Scottish lads that are scoring tries for fun. Yeah. Harbo scores. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll leave that up to you, Humphrey Jones.
Carby will probably be cheap. You get a bargain there. If you pick him early.
Yeah.
And then, fingers crossed from your point of view, Johnny picks up a knock.
Yeah. Not from our point of view, Johnny. And stick Stockdale in there,
sorry,
scoring
Johnny.
Seven tries.
Sorry, Johnny.
Sorry, Johnny. Right, everybody. Thank you for your comments, questions, for listening, and for watching on YouTube. If you are enjoying the show, please do remember to subscribe and leave us a rating, a comment, or anything, any nice questions. We love the funny questions. We really do appreciate the feedback also. Remember again, Trimby is going to be at the live House of Rugby show at the Aviva Stadium on Tuesday evening. To anyone who's unlucky to miss out, we'll be sharing some of that as a bonus later this week. And this afternoon, I'm going to be meeting Brian O'Driscoll and Lawrence Dallaglio, so stay tuned for that. Big thank you to everyone that was involved in making the show this week, to Fiona and Ian on video and Shane on sound, and producer Pat for all your work. This has been Baz and Andrews, House of Rugby, on Joe, together with Guinness. Thanks for keeping us company. Party on.
Party on, Baz.
You were listening to Baz and Andrews, House of Rugby, on Joe, together with Guinness. Drink responsibly. Visit drinkaware.ie for the facts.